have to push back publication. There's no way we can release in 4 days.
14 pages in The Guardian, 12 in The New York Times. This is more coverage than all the leaks we have had combined. We're winning an information war, which goes beyond any short-term alliance we have with the mainstream media. And you want to throw it all away because you fear that some US government informer might come to harm?
These are human beings, Julian. And their lives are at stake.
Well, what about the lives of the soldiers and the civilians involved in these conflicts? Death squads, unreported civilian casualties, countless incidents of friendly fire. This is information the world needs to know.
Hey everyone, it's Bina 007 back for another 10-minute spoiler-free movie review. And today we're talking about The Fifth Estate, which may as well have been called the WikiLeaks movie, because that's how everyone's referring to it. And I have to say, I rather enjoyed it. It is admittedly rather cartoonish in its characterization of the two protagonists. Julian Assange, who we all know now, right, as that white-haired, eccentric guy who's crippled governments by publishing all their secret documents. He's painted very much as an eccentric, as a difficult, egomaniacal man, paranoid, a liar, with a real casual disregard for human life. So this is not a story that's pro-Assange, even though it's pro the ideals that he represents, which is, you know, speaking truth to power and holding institutions to account. By contrast, I suppose the real hero of the movie is his early collaborator, Daniel Berg, who's played in this film by Daniel Brühl, who you would recently have seen on your screens as Niki Lauda in the Formula One racing driver movie Rush. And it's worth saying that this movie is partly based on Daniel Berg's book. And, you know, that was very much a book written by a guy with a grievance. So Daniel Berg is portrayed as a hacker, maybe of lesser skill and certainly not a founder of the WikiLeaks movement, but someone who worked with Assange very early on and was very involved in all the major coups before the Bradley Manning case. So someone who was involved in the case of bringing down holding to account Bank Julius Baer, who was involved in the Kenya humanitarian crimes leaks. So this is a guy who definitely knows what it's like on the inside and has a view on Assange, but at the end of the day, they did fall out badly. And according to this movie, they fell out because Daniel Berg wanted to spend more time fact-checking all the leaked docs that Bradley Manning brought to WikiLeaks in order to prevent any collateral damage. In other words, he wanted to redact names and context of names. And really, there's a philosophical debate going on at the heart of this movie, and presumably at the heart of WikiLeaks, where Julian Assange truly believes that all information should be free. In other words, he does not want to edit whatever comes to his site. As long as it's seen to be true, he just wants to put it out there and let the public decide. Whereas people like Daniel Berg realize that in the real world, that will involve innocent people getting killed and that they want to put some editorial control on there. Of course, there is a great irony here because we see Assange again and again exert editorial control. I mean, he decides ultimately what goes onto the site. And there's this particularly horrible piece of footage that they put up which showed innocent people being killed, I believe in Afghanistan. And he put the sort of the heading on that on the website of collateral murder, which of course is very much an editorializing comment. So what I think this movie does well, when it does it well, is really delve into some of those contradictions and arguments. And, you know, there are no rights or wrongs here, just really interesting discussions that need to be had about what is the role of WikiLeaks in our modern media and in our modern politics. And, you know, what is it that's constraining them or controlling them? What is the mission of WikiLeaks? And that's the argument we see had between Berg and Assange in this film. And whether or not it's true to life, it's certainly very interesting and elucidating. In terms of the way in which the movie is put together, I mean, I don't think you can overstate how brilliant Benedict Cumberbatch is. He's known to people in Britain as the new Sherlock Holmes. And I think in the USA, maybe is playing the villain in the latest Star Trek movie. But he gives really a no perfect impression of Assange, you know, that kind of slightly strange Australian accent, the sort of the physical tics. And you can see, and you have to see, that he's incredibly charismatic. You have to see why people would follow him and would trust him again and again to do the right thing. And you can also see there are just hints of the backstory of Assange, this weird childhood as part of a kind of weird fascistic cult in Australia. His background as a hacker that give you hints as to why he's behaving in the way that he is and why he feels such a strong sense of mission. I kind of feel sad, actually, that the writer and director have chosen to bring us into the story at the point at which Assange meets Daniel Berg, because I feel there is probably a lot of very interesting stuff about what makes Assange the kind of person he is in that very bizarre childhood. But I guess that's outside the scope of this movie. And, you know, it's worth saying that this is yet another, the second very good performance by Daniel Brühl. And it's interesting because both in Rush and in this movie, he's kind of playing the straight man to the more superficially charismatic characters. So in Rush, he was playing Niki Lauda, who was the boring, rational racing driver against James Hunt's charismatic playboy. And here he's playing the decent, middle-class, good boy with a nice girlfriend against the eccentric Julian Assange. But in both performances, he brings such integrity, and he's just one of those actors. And I put Tom Hanks in this category, right? He's the kind of uber type in this category of people that you just want to spend time with because they're empathetic and they have integrity and you believe in them. And he gives us an anchor in this film, and I really love that performance. But really, I just want to also praise the director, Bill Condon, because as in movies like The Social Network, it's quite hard for the lay person. I mean, I'm not an IT expert by any stretch of the imagination. And yet, you've got to sort of somehow visualize in a movie what's going on with quite complex hacking and programming. And of course, David Fincher did this beautifully in The Social Network. But I think Bill Condon has created a really beautiful metaphor, which time and time again, he goes back to an imagined sort of large open plan office with rows and rows of these desks with nameplates and computers on them. And he'll show various people at them. And through that, it sounds like such a simple image, but through that, he will show us the shifts in power and deception and what's going on, like how this whole concept of WikiLeaks is working. And I personally found it incredibly effective and illuminating. So kudos to Bill Condon for that. I mean, like I said, my only real frustration with this movie is that it starts at the point where Assange is already fully formed. And I think it will be fun at some point in the future to have a movie that really tries to delve into what makes him tick. It's probably too early for that. And, you know, The Fifth Estate, I think, does a manful job in. It's a really difficult period of history to show because it's so recent. We don't have all the full facts. You've got, you know, definitely one side of the story here. And given that, it still manages to be a relatively balanced film because it does show the good that Assange has achieved. So I think this is an interesting movie. It's really compelling. You are sucked into it. You want to see what happens. I look forward to seeing more of these kinds of films and books and explorations of what's really going on with WikiLeaks as the years progress, but this is certainly a wonderful start of that story. So, if you've seen The Fifth Estate and agree or disagree with my take, as usual, please feel free to leave a comment on the blog at bina007.com. And in the meantime, thank you for listening. The Fifth Estate has a running time of 128 minutes and is rated R in the USA. The movie played Toronto 2013 and is currently on release in the UK and Ireland. It opens next weekend in the USA, Canada, Estonia and Lithuania. You can find the full release schedule at the written review at bina007.com.